Hey, good to have you guys here today. Good morning to those that are worshiping with us online. If you haven't already, go to our website. You can find our sermon notes. You can find connection cards, online giving, all that good stuff on there. But it's good to be with you all today for what really is a special day for us. I remember not long after we moved to Tucson, we were praying about God, about where God would have us meet as a new church. And we began to look around. We knew the area. This is where we were supposed to be. This is our mission field. We knew this is where we're supposed to be serving and reaching and loving the community. But especially before we moved here, we didn't really know where we're going to meet. Like, there's no buildings around here. We didn't even know this school existed. It's kind of hidden, isn't it, a little bit? And so Charles like, yeah, man, I've been looking for you for a while. But, man, we knew this is where God wanted us to be, and he just made it clear that this is where we were supposed to meet and worship and open his word together and be his church. And so we've been gathering here, sharing the gospel, praising the Lord, growing together. Church, man, out of the last, if you're interested in numbers, you know, man, we have seen, I don't have this number, so you can't, sorry, I set that up really bad. We've seen a lot of people come to know Christ here. We've seen a lot of lives changed here. We've been a top baptizing church in the state of Arizona for like 5 out of the last 7 years. It's been amazing what God has done here. It's been really neat over the last 7 years. This school itself has been a, bless you, has been a great and amazing partner. I mean, they've really allowed us to be a part of their family. I was hanging out with one of the staff members. My wife and I were hanging out with one of the staff members this past weekend, and she actually works here, and she introduced me to her friends as the pastor of their school. And it was really neat because the person was like, wait, what? You know, so it was really neat. But they've allowed us to be here and be a part of their family. We've served them well. And church, we're going to continue to do that. We're going to adopt this school and continue to serve them and love on them. But as you all know, earlier this year, in case you don't know, the Lord has opened up a door for us. He's led us to a new location, not very far from here, just 5 minutes from here. It's a bigger facility, a school that's right in the middle of the community. And God just made it clear that that is where he wants us to gather as his church and to serve and worship together. And so it's a sad, but it's an exciting day because this is our last day here at Vail Academy. And next week we begin gathering at Desert Sky Middle School. So church, don't show up here next week, right? If you do, just keep driving down the road. We're going to be at Desert Sky Middle School. All the times, everything is going to be the same. We're just really taking what God has been doing here at Authentic Life and moving it to a different location right down the street. We're going to continue to serve this area. We're going to continue to ask God to do things that only he can take credit for. Amen, church? Man, that's what we want to do. Because remember this, the church isn't about the building, right? The church is the people. It's the family. And so Authentic Life, I'm just telling you, church, let's get excited, right, to continue to be his church, continue to be family as we meet and gather next week at Desert Sky Middle School. My buddy Jeff Newkirk was making fun of me because I was getting sentimental this morning because I'm sad, you know, like this is our place, right? But God's going to do big things over there. So, Jeff, I'm just going to make other people cry too, so you're the oddball out, okay? But, yeah, he doesn't like attention, so he loves it. Everybody look at me. No, I'm just kidding. But, in your bulletins, you're going to find invite cards. We're going to pray about that before we leave today, but you need to be thinking about who are you inviting to join you next week. Bring someone with you, right? We all know people. Tucson's one of the most unchurched cities in the United States of America. There's someone that needs a church family, right? So bring someone with you. Be praying about that. Who's God placed on your life that needs to join you? Don't miss that opportunity. It's a very simple opportunity to invite someone to do that. But also next week, I missed part of the announcements. I don't know if Emily shared it or not, but we're going to celebrate afterwards next week. We're going to have Kona Ice. We're going to have some pizza. We're going to have some music and some games. And so bring your lawn chairs, bring some games with you. We're going to worship inside and then head outside, to celebrate. Today, we're going to open God's word together and we come to our last week of our series on prayer. By the way, I want to take just a half a second, introduce you to my friend Derek and his wife Megan. Man, they are church planters in Phoenix, and man, I kind of miss the stage that you're at. Man, that was fun and exciting, and so man, make sure you guys love on them and their family today, and let them know that you're glad that they're here. And my buddy Connor's here too with his family and friends, and so he's working on planting as well. So man, we're glad that you're here. You've been with us for a couple weeks now, haven't you? You're just now introducing me. But man, I love you guys. So I don't know where I'm at. Let's figure this out. But we started our series focusing on prayer, and we dove in focusing on the Lord's Prayer and how Jesus teaches us to pray. Today, we're closing out our series focusing on prayer and the mission. Prayer and the mission. We're going to look at a few passages before we get to our main text today. But go ahead and grab your Bibles. If you don't have one, there's Bibles back there for you. And our main passage today is going to be in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Derek better love Acts, because it's like a church planter's book, isn't it? That's just what we love. And when we began our prayer series 6 weeks ago and we listened to what Jesus said and taught us regarding prayer, he gives us what we often call the Lord's Prayer, right? We recite it often, but it's really meant to be, and there's nothing wrong with it, but it's meant to be a prayer where Jesus is teaching us. He's given us a model of how we are to pray. And so I'd encourage you, if you missed that, jump online and listen to those online that you've missed. But in that prayer, that model prayer, Jesus reminds us of who we're praying to at the beginning. I think sometimes we miss this because we're like, okay, dear Lord, and we get right into it, right? And so, but what does he do? He teaches us that we are praying to our perfect and loving Father in heaven. And when we pray, when we seek God in prayer, we are praying to the one that created us, the one that is in, that loves us, that protects us, that knit us together in our mother's womb. And we're also praying to the one that is above all, the holy and mighty and powerful God. Jesus says, he says, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy, you're set apart, God. And then he says this, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus is teaching us to pray. And right there at the beginning, he's teaching us to surrender, to be after God's will. We're to be after, church, what God is after. We're to be praying about being obedient to him and his mission. And we see that mission for the church, for us, laid out for us in God's word. We see how Jesus, God in the flesh, the perfect one, came and he lived a perfect life to be the perfect sacrifice for us. We're the sinners, amen, right? And he came and he died in our place. Man, if you're here today and you've never heard that, man, you need to know that today. Jesus came to die for you and your sins. He came and he died and he shed his blood and his body was broken. And then on the third day, he rose again. And that allows us, if we follow Christ and we call on him to save us, that allows us to be forgiven and to be made new and adopted into the family of God. You know what happens after Jesus rose again? He's hanging out with his people for about 40 days. Not about, for 40 days. And right before he ascends to go be with his Father, Jesus says something. You know, one of the things that I see families do all the time, especially if they're saying goodbye to a loved one, right? They want to listen to those last words, right? You cling on to those last words. These are last words of Jesus before he goes to be with the Father and ascends into heaven. He lays out for us as Jesus followers, he lays out us for us a commission. He tells us the mission that he is sending us out to be a part of. And here's the reality, church. This mission is for all of us that know Jesus. If you're saved today, this mission is not just for missionaries. It's not just for church planters. It's not just for pastors or those in ministry. If you are saved today, if you're a Jesus follower, Jesus is sending you out on mission. We got it? Man, he's sending you out on mission. And we see this mission in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Look on the screen with me. Look at what Jesus says. He says, hey, Jesus follower, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you. And you will be my witnesses, Jesus says, in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus tells us some good news that we are empowered by God, the Holy Spirit, to be the witnesses of Jesus. And then he says this, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. For us, we are to be his witnesses. We're to tell others about Jesus, right, here in Tucson, in Arizona, and throughout the world. Meaning this, you and I, we have a responsibility individually and as a church to tell others the story of Jesus locally and globally. Here's what's happening in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. They've been saved by Jesus. They've been changed by Jesus. They've been made new by Jesus. And now they're being sent out by Jesus. And so they are empowered with the Holy Spirit. And now they know they have this God-sized mission. And so look with me to verse 14. It's going to be up on the screen and just see what they do. They go back to Jerusalem where Jesus tells them to go. There's about 120 committed Christ followers upstairs in this upper room. And look what they do in verse 14. These all. Let's just focus on those two words just for a second. These all. Not 80%. Not 50%. Not just the pastor. Not just the extroverts or the introverts. These all, with one mind, were continually devoting themselves to prayer. Here's what these Christ followers did. They heard from Jesus. They were saved by Jesus. They heard from Jesus. They gathered together with Jesus' followers. They were united on mission. They were united in prayer. And they were continually united and devoted to praying. Church, that became a way of life for them. It wasn't something they just did on Sunday or whenever they had like missions week or something. This was a way of life for them, and they knew and showed that they had to be completely dependent on God. A lot of times we get dependent on God when things start to fall apart. And they were always dependent on Him. And then what we read throughout the rest of the book of Acts is this. They respond to Jesus' mission. Sometimes we leave church, we hear the mission, and we're like, hey, that was good! And we go out and go to Burger King and we forget about the mission. They responded to the mission. And they come together as one. Charles, thanks for preaching last week. You did a great job, man. And just, you were preaching on unity last week and praying for unity. Church, I just want to throw this out there. Let's stop pretending like we can do this Christian walk on our own. Right? That was never God's intention. And so they respond to the mission. They come together as one. They're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And they prayed, church. That's what they did. They prayed. Church, compared to this, what we often see in our world and our churches today, because here's the reality. We have the same God, the same mission, the same Holy Spirit. But here's the difference. They prayed like they believed the mission. They prayed like they trusted Jesus. They prayed like they knew they couldn't do it on their own. This kind of prayer just dominated their life. Much of our prayer life, don't get all upset. I'm going to step on toes a little bit. Mine too, okay? A lot of times our prayer life is only reserved for health and our needs. Right? You go to a prayer meeting. What are we going to pray today? Man, I'm struggling with this. I need this. There's nothing wrong with that. We should do that. Jesus teaches us to pray for our needs and to pray for one another. But church, we must pray for the mission that Jesus has sent us out on. We must pray to be used by God. We must pray that people who are far from God come to know Jesus and be saved. And this church here in Acts, these Christians, they were devoted to prayer. They were devoted to the mission. They prayed, right, that God would do mighty things, and He did. They prayed and God did the work. And so as we close out our prayer series today, I want us to look to God's Word in Acts chapter 4 to just one of the times where we see them pray for the mission. You guys go ahead and turn there, Acts chapter 4. And here's the context before we read that passage. In Acts chapter 1, there's about 120 committed followers of Christ in this upper room. There's some others that are probably not as committed, but there's about 120. And then in Acts chapter 2, right, they receive the Holy Spirit, right, they pray, right? In Acts chapter 2, Peter gets out and he preaches the gospel of Jesus, and the Bible says about 3,000 souls were saved that day. And so we see this church grow. The Bible tells us that the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And then in chapter 3, you see these two disciples of Jesus, two leaders in this church, Peter and John. And they're going to the temple to, guess what? To pray. And they meet this lame man, a man that cannot walk, who is begging and asking for money and food because he wasn't able to work. And they respond to him. They go to him and say, "Silver and gold have I none." Normal preacher response, right? Silver, just kidding. Silver and gold have I, come on y'all. Silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene. Rise up and walk. You know what happens? He does, right? He gets up and he's healed. And then people who have known this lame man, they're amazed, right? They're like, hey, you couldn't walk and now you can, right? They're amazed and they start to gather around. And what do Peter and John do? They begin to preach about Jesus. And they share the gospel of Jesus and call on people to respond and turn to Jesus and be saved. And in chapter 4, we see in verse 4 that more and more people get saved. Now we're about up to 5,000 men that have been saved, right? So Church, I'm going to be honest with you. This seems like a really good strategy. We always want to do all these programs on how we're going to share the gospel and how we're going to grow and all this other stuff. But here's what's happening. They're going about life just like normal. They're living for Christ. They're loving God. They're loving one another. And they're inviting others to follow Him. We overcomplicate this thing. Right? Just as you do life, love God, love others, share the gospel. And then we also see in verse 2, the Sadducees, the religious leaders, the Bible says they were greatly disturbed. They're not just a little ticked off, they're really ticked off, right? They're greatly disturbed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And so these religious leaders, they grab Peter and John and they throw them in prison. And the next day they bring them before the leaders and they're questioned. And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, guess what he does again? He starts sharing the gospel again, right? I love it. Church, no matter who they are with, no matter the place they are in, they are on mission. They're on mission. But these leaders, here's what happens. They command Peter and John in verse 18. Here's what's happening. They come up to Peter and John that had been told by Jesus, you've got to tell people about me. And in verse 18, the leaders say they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. And Peter and John replied back by saying, sorry, y'all. They had a little country in them, right? Sorry, y'all. Right? Y'all got to help me out. This is our last day here. You have to laugh at my jokes, okay? All right. They basically say, sorry, we cannot stop speaking about Jesus. These officials, they warn them, they threaten them, but they allow them to leave. And that's where we pick up in verse 23. So look at that with me and follow along as I read. Normally I'd have you stand, but since we're already halfway through the message, we'll just keep staying seated. But here's what God's word says, church. This is so good. Peter and John have been threatened. Don't talk about Jesus. They're threatened. They're released. When they had been released, they went to their own companions, their church. They went back to their friends and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord and said, O Lord, it is you who have made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against the Christ. For truly in this city, there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservant may speak your word with all confidence. While you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, church, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Church, let's just seek God in prayer before we finish today. Father, as we walk through this passage, God, we pray, Lord, today that we would just be burdened with your mission. We would be burdened with your heart for the lost. We would be burdened with our neighbors that don't know Jesus. God, I pray, Lord, today that when we walk out of here, we don't just think about Taco Bell or wherever it is that we're going, but it's just on our hearts and on our minds, and we can't help but think and pray about those that are lost and say, God, how can I be on mission for you individually and as a church? So, God, I pray, Lord, that we would surrender to you today. We ask all this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, what I want to do this morning, church, by looking at this early church and their prayer life, is to see how we are to pray when it comes to the mission that Jesus has given us. And when we're done, we're going to actually take some time to pray this morning. But here's what's happening. This church and their leaders are out telling people about Jesus, the religious leaders, the authorities, the same group that arrested Jesus and had him crucified, the same one that rejected Jesus as Lord and Savior. Man, they warned them. Man, they threatened him. You better stop. Right? And they said, sorry, guys, we cannot stop telling others about Jesus. But notice what they do next, church. Notice what they do. They've been threatened by the authority that had Jesus arrested and put to death. They don't cower down, church. They don't run away. They don't complain. They don't come up with excuses as to why they have to stop sharing the gospel. Church, here's the reality. We are always going to face opposition when it comes to being on mission for Christ. There's always going to be a reason as why we should give up or cower down. It may be like this, like Peter and John. Well, we may think this doesn't happen today, but church, it's happening all over the globe today. There are nations and governments and leading groups all over this world that have made it illegal to share the gospel of Jesus and even to mention His name. Man, we've got missionary friends that are all over this world that, man, we use code names if we're going to email them. We use code words to you know, instead of saying, hey, we're talking to Papa for you or something like that. You get what I'm saying, church? I mean, it's illegal for that to happen. People lose their lives because they even mention the name of Jesus. And so it may be that kind of opposition to the mission. Or it may be something else that just makes it difficult in your life. But it also may be you. It may be us. We come up with church. We come up with all sorts of reasons as to why we should not or cannot tell someone about Jesus. I'm too shy. He's better at it. She's better at it. Well, it's not really. Are you with me, church? I think we're our biggest opposition a lot of times. But knowing that Jesus personally has sent us on mission and empowered us with God the Holy Spirit, we have to have that same response. Whether it's an official or whether it's us, man, we got to say, I cannot stop speaking about Jesus and who He is and what He's done. And so facing this opposition, here's what they do. Look at verse 23. When they had been released, they went to their own companions. They go back to the church and reported all that the chief priest and the elders had said to them. And when they heard this, who's they? It's the church. When the church heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord. This is going to get me a little excited. I love this part, man. As a church on mission, the first thing that we must do is we must be united in prayer. We must be united in prayer. Charles covered this last week, focusing on praying for unity. And now we see this church living it out. Church, they gather together, and in unity, they lift their voices to God. Remember, they did this in Acts chapter 1, verse 14. We looked at it. They hear the mission. They know it's a God-sized mission. And so they gather together in one mind, and they pray. They're still doing it. I love this. They lifted their voices to God with one accord. This is a Greek phrase, church, to lift voices in one accord. It's a phenomenal phrase that the Greeks use. It speaks of a concert of voices who are whole and one and united. It's the sound of a concert, church. Picture this. It's a concert of notes and voices that are many different instruments and different notes are being sung or played, but they harmonize to make one beautiful song. That's the picture that's being painted for us here. If you've ever been to a band concert, a choir concert, an orchestra something, is it called an orchestra concert? I don't know. Orchestra thing, right? At the beginning, right, here's what's happening, right? You have all of these different instruments. If you've been there early, what are they doing? They're kind of doing their own thing, aren't they? They're kind of talking a little bit. They're playing. They're practicing. They're tuning up. They're getting ready. And then, so they're all doing their own thing. And then the crowd starts to clap because the conductor comes in. And he raises his baton, right? And what happens? It gets quiet. You know why? Because their focus is on the leader. And he brings that baton down to begin the song, and all of these instruments, all these notes are united after the same goal, making this beautiful sound together, playing off the same sheet of music. That's the picture. That's the phrase. Can you imagine? Think about this. If you've gone to like a sixth grade band concert, you've seen this, okay? If you go to a concert and you have a few players that are just kind of playing their own song over here, they're like, I know, Charles, you want me to play this song, but I like this one better. And so when the baton comes down, I'm just going to do my own thing. And you got another group over here kind of playing their own thing or playing at their own speed. And then you've got others that they're just stragglers, right? They're not really paying attention. They're not really involved. Church, we see that in our churches today. Instead of unity, instead of being on mission together, praying in one accord, there are people doing their own things, playing their own songs over here and over here, and others just said, you know what, I'm just not going to join in. But this prayer that we see here in Acts is God's people in His church, that family, all on the same sheet of music, all focused on the same conductor, Jesus, being empowered by the Holy Spirit to accomplish the same mission, to play the same song. Church, that's our aim, to bring all of our differences. We're different, right? Y'all are looking at the person next to you like, you're different, but you're different. You get what I'm saying? We're all kind of crazy, right? To bring all of our differences together, united by Jesus, into one family, all on the same page, the Word of God, and praying in a unified voice to our God for His mission. And so as His church, as Authentic Life Church, knowing the mission is a big mission, knowing it was given to us by Jesus Himself, knowing that He has brought us together, no matter if the mission is going easy or if we're facing some fierce opposition, we've got to be together, united in prayer for the mission, church. Amen? Man, we've got to be after it. And so as we continue, we're going to see what they're praying for. How are they praying? What are they doing in their prayer? And the first thing we see is this. They're united for this mission, and they are united in their prayer as they worship the Lord. They're united as they worship the Lord. As we pray for this mission, as we pray about being used by God to live for Him, to tell others about Him, church, I think it's a good place to start by worshiping Him for who He is. Look at verse 24. And when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord and said, "O Lord, it's You. You made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that's in them. Who by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of our father David, Your servant, said, 'Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ.'" Church, they began to pray and worship Him as Lord, as Master, as the boss, as the creator of all things. They are pointing out as they're talking to God, this is who You are, God. You are mighty and You are powerful. From nothing, You, God, spoke the world into creation. And then You took the time to form us and breathed Your life into us, God. And so even though we face a real and powerful opposition, we are praying to You, the One who is over all. Verse 25 through 26, as they pray, we don't have a lot of time to cover all that, but they're quoting Scripture, church. They're quoting Scripture in their prayer. If you're struggling in your prayer life, open up Psalm and pray it. Verse 25 through 26, they're quoting Scripture. It's actually Psalm chapter 2. And it's a psalm that we find that they are worshiping God for how powerful and how mighty He is. It's a psalm that speaks of God as royalty. Church, Jesus, the Savior of this world, has sent you and me together on mission. He's gathered us together as Authentic Life to do this as one. And no matter what we face, we can know that our God and our Savior and our Commander is bigger than any opposition that we face. That should get you all excited right there. I don't know what's going on, right? That's a good place. If you're new to church, that's a good place to say amen. All right? If y'all don't say it, I'll say it. No matter what we face, our God, our Savior, our Commander is bigger than any opposition we may face. And He's leading us, and He's directing us, and He's going out before us. And so as we go out on mission and worship Him, we should worship Him for who He is and what He will do in and through us. And then they continue to pray in unity in verse 27. "For truly in this city they were gathered together against Your holy servant Jesus, whom You anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel." Listen to this. "To do whatever Your hand and Your purpose predestined to occur." They're now praying about how Jesus came to be the Savior of the world. It's God's plan, right? We actually hear, we don't think about the gospel and God's plan and Jesus coming until Matthew, right? But we hear about it in Genesis chapter 3, right? God's plan, Jesus was going to come and He's going to make His way to the cross and He's going to die and He's going to rise again. All of that happened just as God said it would. God told them beforehand that the nations would conspire against Jesus, but that Jesus would triumph and become ruler over all. And so they've read it in Scripture and they've seen roadblocks in their lives over and over again against God and His will, but they continue to see God's will accomplished. They had witnessed God accomplish His will, no matter the hurdle, no matter the task. And so church, when we pray, they are pointing out that God's will, His mission, church, we need to hear this. It will be accomplished. We need to own that. It will be accomplished. You know what they're doing, church? This is a prayer of surrender. I believe this is a prayer of surrender to the Lord. When they prayed about this mission, they're united, they're worshiping God for who He is, and now they're praying a prayer of surrender to His will, to Him and His mission. Church, God has called you and me and us together to be a part of the mission, and there's going to be difficulties, right? There's going to be roadblocks. There's going to be resistance even within us. Church, one of my favorite things to do is to tell people about Jesus. But all the time, there's this anxiety and this fear that just pops up. I mean, you're telling someone that the best news ever. There's going to be that resistance, but God has called us to this mission in our prayers that we would surrender to His will and to His mission. They're pointing out in this prayer that God's plan will happen. Verse 28 speaks of God's plan that whatever God predestines to happen, church, it's going to happen. You know what this church is saying? We know it's going to happen, God. We know it is because of who you are and what you've already done. But we want to be a part of it. We want to be a part of it. We want to be a part of what you're doing, God. We want to be used by you to be a part of your mission. Church, we're going to face opposition. We're going to face difficulties. We're going to face hardship. We're going to face opposition and fear within us. But we must know that the mission of Jesus will happen. But Jesus wants to use you and me and our church to accomplish that. And so the only way to make that happen is to be united in prayer and then surrender to Him and to His plan. A prayer of surrender to Jesus and His will and His mission. That leads us to verse 29. Listen to how they pray. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant your bondservants, right, that your bondservants, that us may speak your word with all confidence while you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. So Jesus, He sends them out to live for Him, right, to love, to tell others about Him. But now they're facing this threat and this persecution. And because of that, what do? They gather as a church. They don't check Facebook first to say, well, should I really go out and do this? Or they gather as a church. They unite in prayer. They sing one song. And they begin praying by worshiping the one they serve. They surrender to Him. And then you know what we see here? They're taking their needs, their realities to God. Lord, take note. See their threats, God. See what we're facing, God. Provide for us all that we'll need. They're bringing their needs and their concerns, their realities to God. And they're saying, God, this is what we're facing as we try to accomplish your mission. This is what is happening as we're doing what you called us to do, God. We cannot do it without you. Provide for us what we need for this God-sized mission. Empower us, God. You know what they're doing? They're trusting in God to do what only He can do. Earlier this year, I was struggling with some things. And there were so many things that I was worried about. And I went and had this time with God, and I was just reminded through Scripture that I can do what I can do, and I need to let Him do what He can do. For us, we unite, we worship, we surrender, and then we trust Him. We trust in Him for our needs. Guys, they're praying to the one, as Ephesians tells us, who is far able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we could ever ask or think. They're trusting Him. I can't, you can. We can't, you can. You can do it in and through us. Look at verse 30 again. They're saying that in the name of Jesus, God, extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place. God, you have to move. God, you have to make this happen. You have to make yourself known. You have to do what only you can do, God. They're coming to God with their needs and their concerns and for God's direction. They're asking God, let us know, God, that you're here with us. Notice what's going on. Give us what we need. Lead us in what step we should take. They're praying and asking God in the name of Jesus that God would show Himself to them and to the people. Asking God, do what you do, God. They're placing their trust completely in Him. God, we trust you. We need you. Give us what we need to do this mission. And then last, as we close, is this. As we unite in prayer, we pray for boldness and perseverance. We saw that in the passage we just read. But in one voice, we are united, fully dependent on you, God. We worship you for who you are. We surrender to you, Lord Jesus. We trust you. And now we ask that no matter what we face, as we are on mission with you, no matter the struggle, the fear, the threats, the opposition, please, by the power of the Holy Spirit, give us boldness, God, to tell this world who you are. Give us boldness to tell others about Jesus and how He saved us and changed us and adopted us and loved us and is going to have us for eternity. Right? That's our prayer, church. This is a powerful verse. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered, God was showing up in a big way. Man, when they had gathered together, it was shaken. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the Word of God with boldness. Church, here's a cool reality. When we trust in Jesus, when we call on Jesus to save us, God, the Holy Spirit, comes to live and reside within you. If you know Jesus, the Holy Spirit is within you and he's empowering us, church. But I also love this, Ephesians 5:18, we also see this. Paul says that we're not to be filled with wine. We're not to be filled up and controlled with wine, but we are to be filled up and controlled by the Holy Spirit. So I believe, church, this is talking about both the empowering of the Holy Spirit, but also the filling up and leading of the Holy Spirit as we're on mission. Church, it's Him who gives you and I the boldness and the perseverance that we need. We can't forget that. It's not me. I don't give it to you. Right? You don't give it to yourself. It's the Holy Spirit that gives it to you. The Holy Spirit and His power that's within us. Here's the cool part. I want to bring us into reality because a lot of times we look at the Bible and we're like, oh, that happened back then. Here's some good news. The Holy Spirit and His power that is within you, right? That power, it's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. It's the same power that empowered these Christians to share the gospel. It's the same power, the same Holy Spirit that shook this place, church. If you know Jesus, the Holy Spirit is within you. The power of God is within you. And so we pray and we seek His face and His heart and His power together, united in prayer. Church, we need to worship Him. We need to surrender to Him and trust in Him and pray for boldness and perseverance. You may be sitting here today and you say, man, you're talking a lot about Jesus saving and being on mission. I want to do my part right now. Here's the reality. If you're here or you're online, here's the reality. Jesus loves you. No matter what you've done, who you are, your background, what color, how you smell, it doesn't matter. Jesus loves you. And He sees the sin in your life. He sees the rejection, the rebellion in your life. You know what the Bible doesn't say? You will not find in the Bible that says if you can be this good, you'll make it into heaven. You won't. You won't find it anywhere in here. If you say the right words, you're gonna have Jesus. No. Jesus says, repent. Turn and follow me. He said, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that He's in charge, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead after He died and rose again, right? After He died for us, the Bible says you'll be saved. We can trust this, church. I don't know how hard you've been trying. I don't know how religious you've tried to be. I don't know if this is the first time you're hearing this, but here's the reality. Jesus says, John 3:16, for God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus, God in the flesh, that whoever would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I'm just going to be straight up. What are you waiting on? Same Jesus that we read of in here is the same Jesus that wants to save you, forgive you of your sins, and when you die, you can know you're going to be with Him for eternity. How awesome would it be to go from being a lost, broken sinner to be used by God to tell others about Jesus? Let's pray, church. With your eyes closed, your head bowed, if you're here today, before we pray, if you're here today, if God is drawing you near to Him, if God is saying, hey, I came for you, you need me. You need to surrender to me. You need to confess that I am in charge. I am Lord. You need to believe in Jesus and that He died for you and rose again. If God is doing that in your life today, I just want you to spend that time with Him. And I'm gonna bring that back up here in just a minute after we pray. God, we love You so much. God, we are so grateful that we get to be used by You. We're so grateful that when we actually rebelled against You, You loved us and sent Jesus, God in the flesh, to die for us. And rise again. And God, we can be forgiven, made new, made white as snow. God, we can be Your sons and daughters. And we can spend eternity with You. God, when Jesus says, go and be My witnesses. Church, help us take that seriously. Help us understand the reality that if Jesus were to come back today or this, everyone were to die today, at least 90%, by what we know, at least 90% of the people in Tucson would not be with Him. It would be an eternity in a place called hell. That should fire us up. And I pray, God, that we would be fired up today to be united on mission, to be praying to be on mission for You. God, give us opportunities to share the gospel as we move to our new location. God, bring people. Use us today to invite people to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God, if there's someone here today that does not know Jesus, we pray, God, that they would surrender to You today and call on You to be saved. And so, God, we give that to You. in Jesus' name, with your eyes still closed, if you are saved today, if you're a Christian, man, this should convict us. This should convict us. This should burden us. There are people that do not know Jesus. And Jesus says, hey, you, I saved you. Go out and tell someone else about me. It should convict us, church. So whatever God is speaking into your life right now, respond to that. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, maybe you've tried really hard. Maybe you've tried to be religious. Maybe this, you're hearing this for the first time, but Jesus loves you and he wants you to respond to him and to be his. And so if you're here today and you say, you know what, I've never given my life to Jesus. I'm not saved. I've not been forgiven. If I were to die today, I don't know where I would go. If that's you today, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to have you come up and sing a solo or anything like that. I just simply want you to slip your hand up and look me in my eyes and say, today, I either want to know more about Jesus or I'm ready to give my life to Jesus. If that's you today, don't be shy about that. If you're online, write Jesus in the comments and we'll contact you today. Email me. We'll contact you today. But if that's you today, I don't know Jesus. I've not been saved. Would you slip your hand up and look me in my eye? I see your hand. Thank you. Anybody else? I do not know Jesus. I want to be saved. I want to know more about the one that came to rescue me. If you raise your hand today, I want you to connect with me right after church. Okay? I want you to connect with me, come up and talk with me, and I want to share Jesus with you.